I'd like to address the heaven thing. Somewhere along the line, all of us need to realize there's more to all of this than meets the eye. We're trying to come out of apostasy. We're working our way out of it. We've been in apostasy. Were you a Baptist? You were in apostasy. Were you a Catholic? You were in apostasy. What were you of? Were you an Adventist? You were in apostasy. There isn't a denomination or a non-denomination on this planet that was ever in anything but apostasy. It started in the days of the apostles. It will continue to the end. So I am seeking God that he would give me his spirit without measure. And I am seeking God for a depth of understanding so that when I read the scriptures, I know what it is. This is the word of God. He is the most intelligent, majestic, beautiful, loving person. And he loves me. And he wants nothing more than that I understand the truth. And when I approach the scriptures like that, I feel like I may not get every answer, but I'm certainly headed the right direction. So when I read this in Acts, where they say that he's caught up to heaven, verse 11, Acts 1:11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into the heavens shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heavens." The definite article is there. And because, see, I've spent a lot of time realizing I need to be in harmony with the apostles. And they are trying to give us an understanding of the Old Testament because that's the Bible. The Old Testament is the Bible. And the Gospels show you how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies in the Bible. And the apostles are trying to give you the spiritual understanding of the Bible. So I had to ask, where did Jesus get this and get that? Because he had the Old Testament. And I knew he had emptied himself and God was waking him up to truth. So when I come to Psalms 103, I want to start reading at verse 18. I should read 17. "The mercy of Jehovah is from everlasting to everlasting. It is upon them that fear him." Now remember Romans 3:22. His righteousness is offered unto everyone. It's only upon those who believe. And right here he just said, it is upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, or that is actually precepts, to do them. Jehovah has prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. I believe that is what Jesus had read when he makes the statement in Luke 17, the kingdom of God does not come with outward observation. The kingdom of God is within you. So here you've got a verse, Jehovah prepared his throne in the heavens. So if I simply take that to Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in the heavens. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and it said, come up here. That's ascend. And I'll show you things which must be after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and a throne was set in the heavens, just like he said in Psalms 103. The difference is, what I'm reading in chapter 4, it's in my head. Just like he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Here it is. You're reading it here in Revelation chapter 4. And it makes sense because John, in the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 13, no man has ascended up to the heavens, but he that came down from the heavens, the Son of Man, which is in the heavens. Well, what do you mean? I thought Elijah went up, and I thought Moses was right. He isn't talking about that. He's talking about in your mind. He's talking about the way you think. No man has ascended up to God's understanding. That's what the heavens mean. It's the way, this is where he put his throne. This is his understanding. A throne is a symbol of the conscience. No man has ascended up to God's understanding, but he that came down from God's understanding and emptied himself and became a man. Who is that? The Son of Man, which is, at this given moment, where are you? I'm in the heavens. But you're standing here in Jerusalem. What do you mean you're in the heavens? Because it's inward. It's in my mind. It's in my heart. The heavens. The heavens, the earth, and the sea. Rejoice, you people who dwell in the heavens. Woe be to you. They mean that literally? No. The heavens equal the way God thinks. And that is why in Revelation 4, you see the throne. There's one on the throne. It's the Father. You see elders. You see living creatures that say they have been redeemed. That means all of the understanding they got in the apostasy has now been fixed. It's corrected. That's what it means. You've redeemed us from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. They'll say that in chapter 5. I was in the spirit, and I heard a voice say, come up here. What's another way of saying that? Think higher. Think higher than that. Come out of that apostasy crap and think higher than that. There's more to it all than that. Let him redeem your thinking. He isn't going to take it away. He's going to fix it. You were told so many things in the apostasy. Guess what? It ain't right. It's all of the earth. God's throne is in the heavens. His kingdom is in the heavens, and the kingdom dwells within you. Well, how in the world is that possible? Because he's God, and he wants to live in you if you will accept what happened at the cross. Not to get off on all of that again, but this is what we're talking about. You've got to dwell in the heavens. When I read things in Acts, that is a horse of another color. Because what I'm seeing in Acts, and if I start getting into this, we will literally be here all day. But I think the 12 apostles were a picture of the last generation church. I believe they lived a picture. And I think that's why Paul says what he does about tongues. I believe that's why he says what he does about women keeping silent in the church. It isn't literal. There's something more to it. When I look at Daniel, let me just turn over there right quick. I was telling myself, don't do this, but I'm just going to make this point. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, think higher. I beheld till everybody's conscience was cast down. And the Father was placed on that throne. His garment was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne, according to Psalms 103, is in the heavens. His throne, which was in the heavens, where his kingdom is, was like a fiery flame. His wills as burning fire, or you could say tongues of fire. His wills are the way he thinks. A fiery river flowed and came forth from him. Why? Because he is going to tell you the truth, and it is going to consume, you know, depends on how you take it. What do you need from God? You need bread, water, fire? It all comes from him. He'll tell you something, and how you perceive it is going to be bread to feed you, water to cleanse you, fire to eradicate the garbage you have. A fiery stream flowed and came forth from before him. There were thousands ministering unto him. Could that be your understanding and the thoughts of his church? Because that's what you're going to see. The judgment was set. Books, which are the minds of people, were opened. Verse 13. I saw in this night vision, and one like the Son of Man. It isn't the Son of Man. He came with the clouds. The clouds are the church. The church of the heavens. People who dwell in the heavens. No man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, by the way. The kingdom of God is within you. Where? It's in the heavens. It's within you. It's in your mind. It's in your heavenly understanding. Well, one like the Son of Man, somebody like Jesus, came with the church. And they came to the Father. The church had the ability to bring them to the Father. They brought him near to God. Can you see yourself in that? If somebody needs help, can you bring them to the Father? Or what, are you going to give them a Godhead message? What are you going to do? Is there some way you can bring them to the Father? And there was given this someone that's like the Son of Man. He had dominion, glory, and a kingdom, so that all people within, nations within, and languages should serve him. He is going to quit serving them. He is being set free. He is being redeemed by the truth of God. And he's going to have an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And if you'll continue reading chapter 7 over and over, it is the church who's given dominion, not Jesus. This is not talking about Jesus. And this is why at his trial, are you the Son of God? Yeah. Yes, I am. Don't believe me that he said that? Read Mark. I think it's chapter 14 or 15. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I'm the Son of God. After this, after you do to me what you're getting ready to do, and my Father paints the picture of the Holy Spirit for all to see, after this, you'll see the Son of Man coming with the clouds. Was he talking about himself? No, he's talking about you. Are you in the heavens now or not? Where are you? Where are you right now? Are you in his kingdom? Does Revelation 4 apply to you? Therefore, when I read this in Acts, he went into the heavens. I think they saw an outward picture of the inward truth. Just like women keeping silent in the church, just like speaking in tongues, those are outward pictures of inward truth. And it's in Acts because it's written for those upon whom the end of the world has come, that is you. And you're to think higher than the apostasy you came out of. You have to. You have to, or you're not going to get anywhere with any of this. So when he returns, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, why would he be in heaven, in the heavens, and with the clouds? You meet him in the heavens with the clouds. It would have to be an outward picture of an inward truth. Because if you're not in the heavens now with the clouds, you ain't going to be literally either. You've got to think higher. And by the grace of God, we're going to do that. I'm done.
Amen, amen. Brother, I love your laughter because it's true joy that you just shared with us. Amen, amen.
Truth always makes you smile.